You've got like again, just trying to get my head around this as well. You've a language barrier there as well. How did it?
The agents would have had perfect English. They would have all had perfect English. In terms of the actual contract itself, we had to have a contract in Polish and then equally a contract in English. However, that contract that was in Polish, we literally needed to know exactly what was in the contract. So that literally meant sitting at a desk and having a translator read through it. And word for word. And that meant just sitting there and listening to everything. And, sorry, could you go back? You weren't 100% sure about what it said or what did that imply? You know, and I was sitting there for hours. Like, so not everybody, everybody's going to do that.
That with English contracts. Read that to me.
So, yeah.
Go over that again. That sounds wrong.
So, yeah, that was kind of what we had done, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's like anything. Once you've done it once, you know the system. And once you know a system, you can go off and do it yourself again. But it's just learning that, getting the bumps and bruises and scraped knees, about learning the process. And if you're not afraid to put in the time and learn it, you're going to be fine. You'll get through it.
That's the problem with people. People are great to learn stuff and then they learn it and then they say, oh yeah, well, it didn't really work for me. Then, no, you didn't work for the process.
Correct, yeah.
I mean, you have a chance of learning something, which we're going to get into now. You in the next while, you learn something and then took action and turned it around. But I mean, there's a serious amount of people that will learn something.
Correct.
Do zero with it. And maybe the fright or the little jump of doing it is too much for them.
Welcome to Platinum Property Training's podcast, where we will be talking about business, money, and let's not forget the economy, real estate, and bringing in real inspirations. These are people that are doing some great things in our world. Like, share, add this to your playlist, and subscribe to keep track of our updates. Okay, you beautiful people, sit back, relax, let's listen, and let's get down to business. All right, you're very, very welcome back. And today, I've got this man in. Danny Quigley, thanks a million for coming into our studios today and giving up a bit of your time. We're going to try and shoot out the breeze here and pull out a bit of knowledge out of your brain and maybe get to know you a little bit more. And maybe a few people are knocking around the Platinum Network to get to know you a bit more. And I'm sure your phone is going to be lighting up after this one as we're going to dig back a bit about you, a bit about your life and where you're heading with the next one. So they gave me a bit of an intro and I'll read a few bits and pieces out. Not that I normally do, but it's a good one. Danny Quigley, a property investor, has been investing in property since 2005, has built 5 companies across 4 different industries, is an author of 2 Amazon published books. Number 1, How to Buy Property in Ireland with No Money Down. Thank you very much. And second one, How to Get Coaching Clients Fast, which is really important. And then they said here, you're a pitch and put champion in the 1990s. Aren't you? I'll have thrown in a few bombs. Danny.
Half the 7 years.
Danny Quigley, welcome in.
Thanks,
Delighted to have you back. Okay, so a little bit about yourself. So people, I know you're in our network a long time now.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people will know you. A lot of people, you give a lot of time back to people in our network that's coming through, which is fantastic. Give us a little bit of a breeze about you. So for people that don't know you, that are listening to our podcast.
I guess in terms of myself and where I started on my entrepreneurial journey, I would have started, I guess, very young. I always was kind of entrepreneurial. I guess my first intro into it was when I was age 13. I started working, cutting lawns in my neighborhood. I didn't know it was really a real business, so to speak, but that's how I started my first little gardening business. It was 13. But my first kind of real business would have started in about 1998 when I set up a contract cleaning company, which I ended up having for 10 years. So that company ran for 10 years. It taught me a lot. You know, it taught me that all aspects of business, dealing with, you know, customers, clients, how to get, you know, clients and going out into the industry itself and literally physically doing the work. I'm a big believer in you have to get your hands dirty, you know, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
But that was a case whereby I got to know that business and that industry so that when I was teaching and training other people, like, or somebody told me that it wasn't being able to be done a certain way, I already knew it was able to do it like that. So we had that business for 10 years. Halfway through,
mad the way when I speak to an entrepreneur, normally the first words or the first few words out of their mouth is cutting the grass, doing the gardens,
Getting started.
Getting the taste. Isn't it crazy? And for sure. I always say the one story as well. I remember it's exactly how I started.
Yeah.
And found the roots as well. But I always remember one woman on Air Road saying, Mrs. Green, you know, your son shouldn't be doing that type of stuff now, you know. And, you know, a couple of years later, we're renting houses out to her. Maybe she should allow her sons do it.
Yeah.
But it's mad the way you started with the same breed as, you know, cutting gardens are doing drains, are doing little small jobs.
And I was doing those small jobs, like kind of just circling back to it. Like when I was doing those like kind of gardening jobs, I remember the very first job I did. And I got paid and I came home and I went to give the money to my mother. I was like 12 or something. Because I just used to see my dad, you know, handing the way, whatever. And I was giving the money to my mother. And I always remember what she said to me and had a massive impact on me. She said to me, "You earned it, you keep it." And that stuck with me. And from then I was just kind of like, okay, I like that. You know, I like the sound of that. And that kind of just spurred me on. I was never any good in school. Massively dyslexic. Didn't know what dyslexia was at the time until I kind of got into secondary school. And I eventually got out of secondary school. But I was never any good at school, but just had a mad hunger for learning. As I said, I'm dyslexic, so I can't really read, but I just listen to them constantly.
Wrote two books here on Amazon. What's that about?
Well, dare I say, writing now is a lot easier because you can, with the dictaphone thing, you know what I mean? You can use that. That makes life an awful lot easier for the dictaphone stuff out. That's, you know, getting people for you.
Yeah.
You know? Reading, writing, all that stuff wasn't for me, but the entrepreneurial thing was. And when I got into contract cleaning business, I just kind of grew it for the first 2-3 years. And by the third year, we were doing really well. I felt like I had hit a plateau. The business had grown because I had stepped out of it. I only worked in the business itself for the first year. And I stepped out of it and realized that I just needed to change myself, replace myself with another cleaner. Yeah. And I went off and grew the business. So after the first year of being physically in the business, doing the cleaning, I said, right, that's it. At Christmas, I'll come back in January cleaning. I replaced myself and just went out knocking the door.
Yeah.
And trying to bring in the business. So I did. And by year three, we were doing pretty good. And then roll on 2005. Probably getting a little bit scratchy for another challenge. And myself and a buddy of mine, we went out to Poland, Krakow in Poland. I think I had some Polish staff at that time. And he had as well. So we just went out to look around. I was not in property. He was, and he had a couple of years. So we just went out to have a look around for, I think it was a week. And after a week, the phone home was like, not coming home yet. There's too much going on here. So we stayed on another week. But there was huge opportunity in property out there. So it was 2005, I think it was. So we just started buying like floors in buildings. So we had linked up with a guy who was selling actual whole floors. We were buying the floors and they were just in shell state.
Yeah.
And we were flipping them as they were, back to people in Ireland who wanted to invest in Poland. But we were just flipping them as they were. So we did. But I remember after flipping a couple of, I was after making more money than I had in the year in the contract cleaning business. On here, it was something to look at. But I'd never invested in Ireland. I didn't know how to. So
this was your first step?
My first step. Yeah, and I got a real taste.
Right.
A real taste for it, and I liked it. And it was like, it wasn't like I was doing any work.
Well, like, not to knock the contract cleaning business, because that's like, I know a couple of women in it, and I know a couple of men in it, and that is a profitable business.
It's a good little cash cow.
Yeah.
And it's now versus back then, it's very competitive now in that space. In my opinion, it's very competitive.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's always opportunities out there if you're prepared to work.
So this is where the property, this is where the like of the property, I mean, In the contract cleaning business, of course, it's a heavy, heavy intensive cleaning.
Yeah, even back then it was.
You're driving systems, you're driving staff.
Always.
You dabbled your toe in Krakow into the thing called property and went, what the fuck?
But it was the light bulb moment for me was like, we had about 15 staff at the top of, it's not a lot, it was a small company. We had only about 15, we had 15 staff, but they all had to be managed.
Mm.
And we had some, big contracts, like big companies, certain companies, name of, we had them and they were good and great learners. But I had, dabbled in property in Krakow and just realizing the profits that were made in it were just simple flips,
Right. So just for people that are listening in, and again, for me, because I say the same here all the time. I run this podcast, put a lot of time into it. It's not for the people that are listening. It's for me. I don't care about the people. This is where I get my education. I'm just allowing them to listen.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of questions for you.
Sure, shoot.
Krakow, great city. It was only over there last year. We had great fun over there as well. What do you mean flipping now over there? What does that look? What's the landscape look like for property?
We would have started off just basic, going into agents over there.
Mm.
First off, it was a beautiful city.
Yeah.
Phenomenally, phenomenally beautiful. So the basics to break it down in simple steps, people could see, but how do you do this? It was simple. We just went into agents and spoke to them and, kind of prices, what's going, is there anything for sale? And back then, stuff was cheap.
Yeah.
Really cheap. Buy outright cheap. But that wasn't really what we wanted because, your way, your management, we were just really looking. And one agent just happened to tell us that it was a guy who had bought a building and he's actually selling it off floor by floor. Anyway, we ended up meeting up and we had a sit down with him and we just basically asked him what he wanted, what he was interested in, what his prices were. And we figured out, it's not rocket surgery.
Yeah.
But he says we could find 3 or 4 buyers that would be interested in this, keep 1 or 2 for ourselves and go with that. And that's what we did. All we really did was say, okay, there was 6 apartments on one floor, find 4 people, 2 ourselves, and negotiate a good price on that and get to have an apartment that we would ourselves keep and flip. So it, like I said, it wasn't rocket surgery.
Yeah.
It was straightforward stuff. So we got those people. And the minute that they had showed interest and were prepared to buy them, all we did was introduce those people to the contacts that we had made, the notaries over there, the people that were the translators for the contract for us.
Mm.
All we literally did was just go, here, these are the people we used, use our network, that's it. You take it from there. And we were just paid for our cut. So, it was, I didn't see it as complicated.
Yeah.
But like I said,
I just built relationships.
Yeah. That's all we did.
Relationships into currency.
Yeah. And that was it.
And then do a deal.
Then we did a deal. Yeah. But like I said, I hadn't invested in property. So at that point, I said to myself, okay, listen, I need to go home.
Well, just trying to get my head around this as well. You have a language barrier there as well.
Yeah.
The
agents would have had perfect English. They would have all had perfect English. In terms of the actual contract itself, they were all written in Polish. So you're talking literally physically sitting in and because we were English, was English speaking, we had to have the contract in Polish and the equally contract in English.
Yeah.
However, that contract that was in Polish, we literally needed to know exactly what was in the contract. So that literally meant sitting at a desk and having a translator read through it.
Yeah.
And word for word. And that meant just sitting there and listening to everything. Sorry, could you go back? You weren't 100% sure about what it said or what did that imply? And I was sitting there for hours. Everybody's going to do that.
That with English contracts. Read that to me.
So, yeah.
Go
over that again.
That sounds wrong.
So, yeah, that was kind of what we had done, to take through the whole process. But it's like anything. Once you've done it once, you know the system. And once you know a system, you can go off and do it yourself again. But it's just learning that, getting the bumps and bruises and scraped knees, about learning the process. And if you're not afraid to put in the time and learn it, you're going to be fine. You'll get through it.
That's the problem with people. People are great to learn stuff, and then they learn it, and then they say, oh yeah, well, it didn't really work for me. Then, no, you didn't work for the process.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, you have a chance of learning something, which we're going to get into now.
Yeah.
You in the next while, you learned something and then took action.
Yeah.
And turned it around. But I mean, there's a serious amount of people that will learn something.
Correct.
Do zero with it. And maybe the fright or the little jump of doing it.
Yeah.
Is too much for them, and they can't do it. But again, what we've seen over the past few years, definitely, is once you jump or you hit the ground, and the hit to the ground is sore, you'll find a way. If you want, this thing hard enough called property or whatever business it is.
Yeah, desire.
You'll find a way.
Yeah, of course you will.
You cannot beat someone that will find a way. Yeah. You'll just keep going for it. So you've cracked a little niche.
Yeah, we cracked the niche, so to speak. The first time we were out there, it was like somebody walked by us, and that was the only English that we had heard. And this is before Krakow had popped in terms of being the culture capital of Europe. So I came home after that, and I started looking into Krakow and started doing my research and started seeing the growth potential, what the forecast was. And within, I think it was 12 months, 18 months, it had been crowned culture capital of the world at half of Europe.
Yeah.
And everybody was flooding into it. Our first trip there, you couldn't fly in. We had to fly to Budapest to get in there. There was no direct flights. And then Ryanair put on the flights and everyone's flying in. And it became an amazing city to go to.
Yeah, that's after O'Leary, wasn't it? Making it easy for everyone to get
correct.
Around.
And it was straight in there. Like I said, at that point, I had no investing knowledge in Ireland. But I knew, I said, I want to go home, learn the craft. And that's what I did next. And I came back to Ireland, continued, obviously, I still had my contract cleaning company. And
when you were in Krakow,
did
I hear you say in a past life that you set up an agency out there?
Yes, I did, but it hadn't come yet.
Yeah,
it hadn't come yet.
I thought we were leaving Krakow.
No. It just hadn't come yet.
Right, okay, yeah.
So I came back to Ireland, and it was 2005. And then I started doing what a lot of people like in Platinum do, which is great. They started looking for training, attending seminars, networking with people. And networking with people is probably one of the best things. It's priceless, absolutely priceless. You can find a situation whereby people will read books, they'll take courses, but unless they get out and meet people and actually take action themselves, it's not worth a shit. You know, you gotta take action. So I came back. Now, my buddy, to be fair to him, he had knowledge in the game. He had, like I said, he had a couple of units and a clever guy in the game itself. But I had to start learning and learning the craft. So, like I said, attended seminars, took a few, read books more than anything.
Yeah.
And like back then, Paul, it wasn't like now, there's a lot more stuff. Like I heard you say in the past, you have to go to England for courses, and to learn stuff.
Yeah.
There was nothing really here at home. So.
Not a fucking shame.
Yeah.
Isn't it really a shame? Mm. Like we put on an event here. I specifically haven't done any hotels. Just don't. I love my little setup I have here.
Yeah.
People come in, they get such a buzz. We get text messages at 12 o'clock at night. When I used to leave the seminars in England, 500 and 600 people at them. Fucking body would be shaking.
Yeah.
People would be like, that's a scam. Everything's a scam. And I'm like, I'm going to take that knowledge because I can operate this side of things. I know I can do this.
Yeah.
And if I take that piece of knowledge there and make it work, I'll fucking show what a scam really is. I'm going to go home and milk this thing and turn it into a big, big business.
Yeah.
And some people do and some people don't. But I think them seminar days of me leaving Ireland, getting on a plane on your own, thinking you've lost your marbles.
I've done it myself, Paul.
Fucking
getting a hotel, staying over there for the night, flying back. I've done all that as well.
It. Yeah. I loved it. It's funny. Sorry, I'm going to cut into it.
Go
this
for
whole
it. Go.
Thing, right? But it's so funny the way you just said that. I was going back through my iPhone's at the break, and so I'm like, I need that photo, I need this photo. And I have a collection in the back of the phone of when I was what I call a hustling, going over, trying to learn the trade, trying to find out how I'm going to pull finances together, trying to get into seminars, trying to get up the front rows.
Yeah.
Ended up investing in a company over there. Didn't ever invest in a company in my whole entire life.
Yeah.
I thought, all right, if I invest in it, I'm going to get all the software, everything. I was like, don't like wasting time. Just give me that top ticket and do it. But I used to take pictures of myself coming back on trains.
Yeah.
And I have no direction. I used to have to get a map off Tara. They go from Queen's Station to Wellington or wherever it was. And I'd be freaked down my head trying to get around. And Google Maps kicking in. So when you get out of seminar, you're electrified.
Yeah.
But you're completely exhausted.
Yeah.
Because the information is something you've been hunting.
Yeah.
And you knew you've got this now manual of something. And it's now over to you again. And I think for anyone that gets inside them rooms, it's priceless. But when you look back at yourself.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, you see a picture, which I had in the back of my phone. I was like, fuck, people come to my seminars now and they're leaving there. And if I can only show them this picture and say, well, if you do this level of work, that's what this is the reward you're going to get, but you have to do the work.
But do you know, in my opinion, what the secret sauce of attending those events is? Once you attend those events, for me, the secret sauce is, to immediately take action off the back of what you learned.
Yeah.
But most importantly, get a mentor.
Yeah. Well, it's important too.
That was the next thing I did.
Yeah.
I attended the seminars. I had networked. I'd met a guy. And I immediately how much to teach me.
Yep.
And he started mentoring me. And that was within a couple of months of starting, just getting the ball rolling of learning. And Tony started to teach me what he was doing, and that was it. Sat down, pen and paper, old school, made the goals. What am I going to get? What am I going to do? Write down, okay, 5 properties in the first year. Now, little did I think that was like a bit of a crazy goal, but not so crazy because I did it.
Yeah.
Not so crazy because I had no, I guess, roadblocks in my head to think that why couldn't you buy 5 houses? You know, I went and I did it. A funny story is I had one house bought and I went to a bank manager and I had done a deal for actually 4 properties into one deal. And he asked me, how many, you have one property, Danny? I said, yeah. Did you want to buy 5 in 1 year? And I said, and he said, most people, I always remember it because he said, most people are happy if they buy one house in a year. And I said, so I guess I'm not getting the money, Tom. And that was it. For me, it was just next, next, knock on the next door.
That's the thing about it. If you're willing to put in the legwork, put in the time, the effort, I mean, we've all seen it. Now I comfortably show all that shit in our crew.
Yeah.
Look, anyway, so, and again, I know you did touch on mentors there. And the problem that I had in England was once I reached the level again, and I got my experience, it was more money. And I was like, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Who's out in the trenches here?
Let's see.
Couldn't see the trenches. And then I picked a very good friend of mine, shout out to Dan Kenny, superstar, like would wipe the floor with me. This guy is on fire.
Yeah.
And he built that through pure discipline. Absolutely legend of a man and a gentleman too. But we were sort of the rock stars in there. And I thought, well I'm going to need to pin them behind. So I need someone in front of me.
Correct.
That's all I could see was him. And I thought, I listened to a bit of the shit he has to say now because he wasn't asking for anything.
Yeah.
He was just going on a mission.
Yeah, and he was like, leading the way.
He was leading the way.
And he was somebody that you could follow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure he picked someone too. And, you know, who we picked to learn off, they've done a fantastic job teaching us. But again, the model in England is cars, vans, everything's flashy.
Yeah.
That doesn't work in Ireland. Yeah. I mean, if you pick someone that's going to teach you, normally what a good property mentor will do is you bring in problems, you're in and out there in 20 minutes, that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
So sorry, go on.
So yeah, that was kind of up to where I got to. I had got myself Tony, he was a mentor, he started teaching me, I learned from him. And I set my goals for the first year, which was 5 properties, and I got that. From there, I at this stage, I was looking, I was still involved in Poland, always interested in Poland, in Krakow, trips back there and all the rest. And I started to be asked, would I help people to, you know, invest in Poland? And I got asked a couple of times to do it. And I actually said it to my buddy. I said, I think there's a huge opportunity here to actually start helping people to buy property in Krakow or find deals for them. But he didn't want to, he wasn't interested. But I thought it was a huge opportunity. So I went to Poland and on a trip over there, I was thinking more about it. And I came back and I said, there needs to be, like, everybody's out here is Polish. There's no kind of bridge. And I thought, if there could be somebody that could be a bridge, I thought to myself, okay, this would be great. So I came back to Ireland, I got on the internet and I said, if I could get or start an agency out there, franchise. So I looked up Remax. I said, I wonder, is the master franchise for the whole country available? It was. So the master franchise for Remax had not got into Poland yet. It was here and, you know, huge in the States, as you know, but it hadn't got into Poland. And I went, wow, this is actually available for the whole country. And it, long story short, I took too long. I took a week more to think about it. I normally make decisions very fast. And I waited for like a week or 2 weeks. What ended up happening was I said, okay, I'm going to buy it, because it wasn't big money. And I went to buy it. It was gone. Someone got in and bought it, and they bought Warsaw as well. And I went, okay, what's available? And I went in and Krakow was available and Wrocław was available. And I bought the two of them. So I bought Krakow and I bought Wrocław. So, and I secured two offices, of which I had bought both of them. I bought they were in the square, on the square, great locations. So I said, okay, I'm going to buy, one was on the square, the other was. So I bought them. I set up in Wrocław first. Hadn't got to Krakow, didn't get to open the office there, got to open it in Wrocław, and roll on, went 2008 rocked up in us.
Car crash,
yeah. So I was building in Ireland still. I stayed building my property portfolio over here. So I did a dozen or so here.
Remax thing just never took off, it just died.
I never got to open in Krakow.
Yeah.
We did open, set up and launch in Krakow. I had a few sales, not many, but we could see how the market was really slowing down. So at this stage, I'm managing a property portfolio of a dozen or so over in Ireland. I had my contract cleaning company and I had that business over there as well. So I had a fair few plates in the air at the one time. So I was spinning all those, and then 2008 just kicked. And it all came crashing down. Came crashing down in 2008. Right. For a lot of people.
Before we get into the 2008, and then we're going to get into the no money downside, which I think people are probably like, right, fast forward. But we're not going to just fast forward quite yet, because we've got a nice topic about that. But two questions. And two questions that I think are very, very important before we go into the crash, because a lot of people were in the crash. A lot of people learned from it. The question I get upstairs all the time, what if the crash comes?
Yeah.
Well, if you knew what we know, when the crash comes, you should be protected.
Yeah.
I can't, when I see someone that has lost an absolute fortune.
Yeah.
And then, you know, look, you have to keep your boots on the ground, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If your boots aren't on the ground at all times, when that crash comes, which is going to come, you are in trouble.
Yeah.
So like what we're going to try and do is we're going to try and have plenty of cash knocking around, not lose the lifestyle of Paul Green, drive the company to where it needs to be, and then wait for this thing to come. And when it comes, we're going in there with nets to clean up.
Yeah.
And nobody, if I see one person on my team flutter, they are out that door, because that's the day we're going to make win the low. Anyway, sorry, but about the crash, two questions I have.
Yeah.
We're going to be heading into this world you're in now in no money down.
Yeah.
And when you said estate agencies, I'm so close to I'm a true believer of building everything.
Yeah.
I'm also a true believer of if something's a problem in my company, I'll just go in and try and buy out something. Yeah. And that's what I'm on about now with an estate agency. We're close to trying, maybe put our hands on something and just grab it and buy it.
right?
What's your opinion on Paul Green buying an estate agency?
Wow.
That's question one.
That's question one. Okay, question two,
with no money down,
yeah,
which we're going to get into now in a minute,
yeah,
I personally would have said not to go knocking on agents' doors. Yeah. Now, that's me personally.
Yeah.
That's the relationship I had.
Yeah.
I pissed them guys off.
Yeah.
Right? Now I'm telling you, I mean, they're really, really good once you get them there in the lingo.
Correct. Yeah.
So, second question to you too is, do you think there is plenty of money down, no money down deals sitting there with agents? Or do you think it's out in the open market?
If you were to ask me which one to choose, I would choose get out there. Everybody wants to knock on the agent's doors and go in there. Agents don't really want to see you coming, in my opinion.
Yep.
They want to sell and get their commission.
Yep.
Unless you're prepared to do some type of a deal and you're going to do a tangle with them whereby you say, listen, you've had that property for 6 months, 12 months. It's not shifting. What's up with the property? Oh, we've had loads of offers. You get to all the usual stories. But if you do say, what is the story with it? You haven't moved. What if I cover your commission on that? Then the situation changes. You have to have, in my opinion, something for them. They don't want to lose their commission, but they want to make the sale as well.
Yeah.
So whether you approach them straight on and actually say to them, okay, if I buy that property, you know, and cover your commission, they're going to want the actual asking price. That's why it's never my first option.
Mm.
My first option is always to go and look boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Deal direct with the person selling the property. And don't ask. Ask them what they want for it, because sometimes you'd be surprised. They're going to ask for less than what you've told.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so agents, yeah, they're great. And they're great to network with them. In my situation, as my portfolio, before I got into No Money Down, they used to ring me up and say, Dan, I have, like your situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dan, I have a property. Anything you'd be interested in.
They will, our relationships now.
Yeah.
So I put, you know, I'm, by the staff to go on the phone five yeah. days a week, building mm-hmm. relationships, because you know that's where we seen the value. But it wasn't just building a relationship with them.
Yeah.
It was also building a relationship with loads of other,
yeah.
you know, just to see it's called funny we say this. Ty Lopez called it an experiment lab. I'm like, yeah. go in there and just experiment shit.
Yeah.
Find out what works. And I'll tell you, you know, where we're making, because I'm gonna be the one going out on the doors.
But, yeah.
So with an estate agency. Would you ever see yourself going back there? Or would
well,
you ever
okay, so the two things, well, number one first, yeah. on the estate agent, I didn't have a license.
Yeah.
Okay, so that immediately put me at a disadvantage. Two, it was another country, I didn't speak the language.
Yeah.
And number three was, I had to hire an estate agent
yeah.
and bring him in who had the license. So I was kind of beholden to him as well. So from that aspect of things, It was a big one for in another country. If you're saying about in this country and for Paul Green, I'm like, if you don't have to actually be hands-on managing it yourself and you've got somebody who's more looking to bring you in as an investor into it, yeah, I would strongly look at it. It's in my, you know, my opinion, it's a business at the moment that it's rocking.
Well, for anyone that's listening in, before we shoot the breeze on again onto the next chapter, if you have your eye and you're hungry and your desire, and you may have a practice out there and you're thinking of offloading it, come and see the bull.
Yeah.
Come and see, because we are actively going to make a move for our portfolio companies very soon with an estate agency. Or if you're a young blood that knows they can operate the way I do,
yeah,
I'll we need to talk.
And you're going to buy it.
Shoot me a DM.
you're going to buy
it. I'll fund it and I'll buy it and I'll tell them why I want to run it, and then they can let them loose. I'll just be a stakeholder, shareholder in there.
You're getting sick of paying all these big commissions.
Yeah. No, yeah, well, we are. Yeah, we are. But we're also, for us, we've got everything else is in-house.
Yeah.
Say, I can be on the phone to legals within 1 second. I can do all these things. But an agency,
yeah,
they've got a job to do.
First
so when we give them a property to sell, I have to respect them, and I'm not in control of that.
Correct, yeah.
Whereas I'd rather be in control.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, our companies are, I don't like to mess, I have to make so many different decisions each day. I know that if we're selling off 15 or 20 units a year, that my 20 units are I know exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Because we've got moved quickly with things. And then I think there's growth out there for a good agent. I really do. I think for, you know, there's some agents that are really, really good. And then we wouldn't be in business if there's some that are bad, you know, and unfortunately, some of them don't communicate properly with the seller. And the old agent, sometimes the carpet's going to be pulled and you're going to drop into it because you're not working as hard as you have to nowadays. Yeah. So, anyway, that's with the agency side of things. So I needed to pick your brain on it to see, was it a profitable business as well? Let's move on.
Yeah. Moving on from there, where was I? I guess we had hit 2008. Everything was shit. Oh, yeah.
Gone for the crash.
Yeah. We were in the crash. So
we're going to ICU there.
It was ICU, bypassed ICU nearly a couple of times. Lost all my properties in Ireland, lost my properties in Poland, lost my company in Poland, lost my company in Ireland, and was 2.1 million in debt. So it wasn't a nice time, you know, and we just fire, you know, every day was a firefight. Every single day was a firefight.
Fighting with banks, meeting with legals.
Yeah, it was funny. You know, I had a call. It was a funny call because my mentor, he rang me up. You know, he wasn't mentoring me anymore. He had rang me at this stage like a year or two back going, Danny, how did you bypass me? I was mentoring you. But he rang me up one day in the middle of the crash. He said, how are you getting on to banks? And I said, fine. And we had a laugh and a joke about it. And it was just a simple case of, you know, trying not to stress it. But everyone was going through stress, you know, everybody was having a hard time with it, myself included. I think what kept me mentally strong was I always had the position. It was only ever money, it was money, you know, I had my health, you know, my kids were in good health. That's all that, I built it all from nothing. You know, I had very little education.
If you've built that thing, if you've built this steam engine zero, now I know you now a couple of years, but I don't see you're the type of guy that was flying around on a helicopter or a jet.
No.
I mean, your feet were on the ground. When that crash kicked in, where was the devastation for you? Or what could now with your much more experience that you have, where could you have avoided any? Or could you avoid? Could the portfolio have held itself? Was it over leveraged too much?
I was over leveraged.
You were over leveraged.
Yeah, I was over leveraged. You know, so I made my own mistakes. So I was over leveraged.
See that one thing there, like, and you know what I'm like for this thing. When people come in here and they're trying to be a property, and I am bashing them. About the deal. Like bashing them. Pausing them. Stopping them. Hitting them hard. Dragging them. That's why I'm doing it. And I don't do it for, you know, for I'm doing it for when you're buying a deal, it's not off a motivated seller, there's something fucking wrong with your brain cells.
Yeah.
You have to be getting a discount on it, a major discount.
Yeah.
Or else you're in a different league.
Yeah.
Why are you going to get heavy discounts when you were buying?
Not always.
Okay.
I wasn't always getting heavy discounts. No. I did some deals where somebody was looking to offload, I think three at one time, and I bought three.
Yeah.
He was getting out of going. He was a landlord. He was an older gentleman. He just wanted to get out of it. That type of situation, you would, because I was doing a tangle, you know. But no, not always by getting a good deal. And that was lack of experience as well, in my opinion, you know. As much as experience as I had as I was growing, I probably was growing too fast, you know. I bought five my first year, and the second year I probably, you know, half that again, and then some. So I was operating at a pace that I shouldn't have been, because I don't think hindsight I had enough knowledge, you know. And back then, the banks were giving out money an awful lot easier, you know, which wasn't helping me. But, you know, all I can say, looking back now.
Were you getting money on a phone call nearly?
No, emails. Yeah. Getting at the station, you know, I give the deal. No, I didn't have to go on the phone. I would send an email, break down the deal, the whole lot. I'd get confirmation. Didn't even.
So looking back at it, then, if you were speaking to one of the guys you're mentioning now, say, if you were looking back at that crash, did they need to pull the portfolio, or if it would the portfolio would have survived the debt? Like, what is it? Where were you
not
sitting?
Not to where the prices went.
Right.
Not to where the prices went and kept falling to. But the irony is knowing those properties now and where they are now and how they've come back, you know, and where I was investing at the time, I was investing in that loan. And the reason being, everyone's like, why are you investing in that town? And I'm like, because it's the center of the country. It's going to be a hub. It's going to explode. It's an hour to everywhere. I can guarantee this place is going to really take off. Now, I might have been about 15 years too soon, but like Athlone is a great spot in terms of, you know, all big companies are in there now. Yeah. They're an hour from everywhere. You know, it's a good town now. But yeah, in terms of looking back, yeah, did I make mistakes? Tons of them. Did I learn from them? Absolutely. Was there big things that I got hurt from? Yeah, financially, yes. But like anything, everything comes in, I guess, threes, which was, you know, lost the money, lost all the portfolio and businesses, and lost my marriage. So everything comes, there's pressure.
Yeah.
You know, pressure builds.
Pressure cooker just pops.
Pressure cooks, something eventually pops.
So looking back at it again then, like what was the thing that you were like, where did you think you went wrong? Was it just the over leverage?
Were
you stupid with money? Were you doing
no,
stupid
I wasn't stupid with money. No. I was over leveraged. That was for sure. Yeah. I was over leveraged. But as I looked at it, you know, even as I tried to realize that, okay, those properties of mine emptying out, you know, nearly by the week. And there's people leaving the country. Leaving the country.
Yeah.
And having like 7 properties.
Empty.
I'm going, where are these people going to come out at? Like they were literally leaving the country because they worked on construction. And they I'm not going to fill these. So yeah, in terms of, you know, being stupid with money, no, it was more a case of being over.
Right.
And I was in the middle of 2008. I was trying actually to work with the bank. And yeah, that wasn't happening.
I remember we bought a property for 365,000. Everyone said, don't buy it. Don't buy that. Yeah. Don't buy that. Telling you, it's going to go. It's going to go. We were like, we're buying. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
I was like, just turn the volume down there. Yeah. Mind all these people. That property went down to 80 grand.
Wow.
6 months later.
Wow. Yeah.
That was the start of it. Yeah. That was the start of my property career because when you're down in the trenches, fucking have to find a way out. And I wasn't going to lose any money in it. Yeah. I was thinking, I'll have to turn this thing around and I'm going to have to figure out how to fucking do this
thing. Do it. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it had got to the stage where they just took them all back, you know. And now into 2008, I had kind of gone, what do I do with myself now? They had taken all the properties back. I was 2.1 in the hole and going to myself, now what?
You're completely back. Zero.
Zero. No, not zero. I wasn't zero. I was at minus 2.1. I was below zero. I was 2.1. If I was broke, it was one thing, but I was 2.1.
As you said, I remember I'm a nightmare for listening to YouTube podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, and Donald Trump, as I was listening the other night, where him and his beautiful wife were walking by and he said, look at the homeless guy. And he said, she said, yeah, poor lad's a beggar. And he goes, no, he's 900 million richer than me. You were at
similar
zero.
Story. Exactly. Yeah. Similar kind of a story.
Yeah.
So it was for me, it was a case of going, okay, next. What's next? I have to do something. I have to figure out a way.
The entrepreneurial.
To do something. Yeah. And I came up to Dublin here and there was a seminar on in Dublin. I was told about it, came up. I knew nothing about internet marketing at all. And it was all about social media. It was just starting this thing called social media. And I heard guys talking on stage and I was up there with someone and I just turned to them and I said, this is the next big thing. Like they were laughing, going, what do you mean? I said, I can guarantee you, this is going to be the thing. And I came back, figured out to scratch a couple of quid together and was on a plane over to London within 2 weeks to get a guy to teach me internet marketing stuff. Yeah. Teach me it. Yeah. And I just knew it's going to start working. And businesses wanted it. And they were already talking about it. So I learned what I could. I knew very little, but I knew the basic stuff about social media back then. Very, very basic. and came back and started to try and punt it over here to local businesses. But I heard the same line all over and over, which was, we want it, we need it, but we can't afford it. We can barely afford to pay the staff. And I got that all the time. So I stayed at it for a while, but I was getting nowhere. Then I took a very difficult decision to go to London, where I worked for 2 years. And London was ahead of us in the game. Yeah. London was ahead of us. Every other week I would fly back and forth to see my girls, which was difficult.
And if you just take that point for 1 second,
yeah.
You say ahead of us, when we move into this next chapter, a bit of no money down,
yeah.
There's streets ahead of us.
Yeah. Way ahead of us.
Like a golden ticket.
Yeah.
Is some person that's trying to get on the property ladder that can't get onto the property ladder.
Correct.
That's sitting there looking, going, I wish. Well, you're not fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You can learn this shit.
Yeah, very learnable.
And they're streets ahead of us.
Very learnable.
40 minutes on a flight.
Very, very learnable. Sorry. Yeah, the end of that story was I stayed there for 2 years, worked in the social media aspect of things, came back. At that stage, it was advancing into digital marketing. And from, I guess, 2008 to 2018, I was in the digital marketing space. I did basic, you know, and advanced digital marketing, running ads and all that stuff, you know. And along the road, somebody said to me at one point, Danny, you should become a coach. You'd be great at it. And it was in, I think, 2017, 18, I went off and became a certified coach for myself. And I started, you know, doing coaching online. But what I was doing was I was promoting and selling coaching online packages, but I was leveraging digital marketing clients. And the one thing I noticed, heard from all the coaches, was found it so hard to get clients. They were struggling to get clients, which prompted the book. All I did, I sat down and documented what I was doing, and that was it. And by the end of 2018, the world got turned upside down again for me a bit. I got hit. I was pulling off a junction, and a car deboned me, broke the lights, crashed into me. So my world got tumbled upside down again for a while. So yeah, life's throws you curveballs when you're not expecting them. So yeah, I had to shut down everything because really I couldn't do a desk, couldn't do nothing, and had to get all this treatment, all that type of shenanigans.
Yeah, I remember last year you were upstairs, you were shooting out to get, you're still getting treatment.
No, thankfully, it's the last set of treatment. I'm hoping it's gonna stick. Yeah. So yeah, that rocked around. And then I think during that period of time, I came across you online, and I came across this webinar with this thing called No Money Down. And I went, well, I'm never getting a mortgage again, right? That's for sure.
Twice. When you have a portfolio built and there's cash coming in.
You know, but it's like anything, but your mindset.
They bend the rules.
Yeah, your mindset. So I went, okay. And I listened to a webinar that you had, I think at the time. I knew nothing about it, but I only knew from what I had heard from England. I never heard it being operated and ran in this country. And it interested me. Now, I had lost the graw for property, totally. And the reason being was...
Property wasn't even on the agenda.
No, because I felt so sick from it. So yeah, I started watching a couple of more webinars, stuff like that. I think I came to one of your jump starts. I got a taste for it again. And then
you're the mad lunatic shouting and screaming over the top of the room.
Stop. Yeah. So I got a taste for it again. And then what happened, I think it was, went on the course with yourself, which was fantastic. And that kind of just really injected property and the options it gives you back into my blood. I was like, oh, I think I'm missing out here. But for me, it was still closed. I was like, how can I get in? And I couldn't wrap my head around how could I get actually into it until the options deal.
Yeah, because we explored your raising finance.
Yeah.
We explored every single thing.
Yeah,
and I think I done a segment how I moved from Tala to Temple Oak. when you're sitting there with the gun ready and you're trained.
Yeah.
Options are an untapped gold mine. Massive. In Ireland. And I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
There's serious growth in that.
Yeah.
Because everybody's running looking for the mortgage.
Correct. Yeah.
And there is no fucker.
No.
Even attempting
no.
to do what we do.
No.
And Yeah. And I know another person who's extremely, extremely good at it.
Yeah.
He could not get a mortgage. He has plenty of mortgages now.
Yeah.
Because he's got a balance sheet that's very, very thick and strong. And again, when we go into the world of no money down and options and all these, a lease option contract is really, really solid. Mm-hmm. Depending on what legal team you get to do. There's a certain amount of shit here we cannot say online. That is only for private rooms.
Yeah.
But take me to that world that you're in now.
Yeah, so I'm in now was, so what I was doing after the kind of the accident and pre the accident was all consulting, business coaching, more consulting, because as I was doing business coaching, I found out a difference between a coach and a consultant is a coach is helping you get, go through your issues and helping you, you know, get through them. A consultant will just solve the problem for you. And I found more business people just wanted it solved. So I kind of went more into that role of things. So I'm doing consulting and I'm rocking along with that. And I'm also getting to know options deal. So that's the world I've slid into is options deal, which I absolutely love. And I just wish more people would see once you do one, how are.
Okay. Let's pretend we just role play. Because a lot of people are listening to this going, what the f***? They both lost their mind.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So when you have a couple of million of the option deals done and there's cash flow coming in, you haven't lost your mind. You've just built a business.
Yeah.
That's why I look at these things like little company.
Yeah.
Like that's a little company. I'm going to take it from that shitty, horrendous situation. Yeah. And I'm going to get the cash flow.
Yeah.
There's no one going to tell me any different.
Correct.
And I think when I remember your face that night when I saw you were scratching, you were back on the head, you were writing notes because I can see everyone on the screen. When we're doing it. And I was like, I think he's up to something over there. But you just probably went, this is where I need to be.
Yeah. Like for me, it just kicked in going, okay, solely focus on this.
Mm.
Okay. It's like anything. I'm a big believer in just go into a niche. And own the niche. Get to know the topic, whatever it is. Learn it. It's like when I went to Krakow, we learned the simple formula and steps. An options deal is exactly the same. Once you know and can do one deal, you can do an endless amount of them because it's the same process broken down in simple steps. Number one, find the property. Number two, do the negotiation. Three, where can you add value? You do it up. And get your tenants in, get your cash flow going. Negotiate your deal with the person who's looking to sell and so on. And it's really just about finding it, negotiating it, adding value.
Right. Okay. Why would someone go into an option?
From what perspective? Somebody selling?
Okay, so because there's going to be loads of people listening into this going, why would I go into an option? Why in the night? I just go down to my estate agent and I'll get hundreds of thousands.
Okay.
What would I do it?
So, for example, here's a great example. So, one option deal, three siblings own a property. They had it for 2 years. Very, very badly trashed.
By tenants?
By tenants.
Okay.
Agent was managing it for 2 years. Had so never stepped inside
involved,
the door. Yeah.
There's a tenant involved. Yeah. And there's been mismanaged by two people.
Two people. Yeah. None of the siblings live there, obviously. It's their own home house, which makes it worse because they, there's emotional attachment to it.
Yeah.
Basically, in that deal, just presented kind of how they could have money coming in every month.
Yeah.
And no matter what happened, they didn't have to worry about anything. What I mean by that is...
How much damage was caused, roughly, from that deal?
Did I show you those pictures?
Yeah, you did. To put this in perspective for someone.
Yeah.
Let's say, oh, hang on a minute. How much damage was caused?
So, not shy of 50 grand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you've got a 50 grand problem.
Yeah, correct.
Technically, you're going to solve.
Yeah, I'm going to solve
it. The agent isn't going to solve it. He hasn't got 50 grand.
Yeah. So they have to obviously get the property refixed. But if you're presenting it's like, I'll take the property exactly like it is, and you're presenting this deal to them and the place is trashed and saying you have to pay for nothing. In fact, you're going to get rent every month. The boiler explodes. It's not your problem. We do the deal. You're covering all of the expenses. You're going, what about the insurance? I'm covering everything. When I say everything, I'm covering everything. The line I like to use is, you have one job a month, and at this stage they're like, because this is on probably third or fourth conversation, but they're trying to wrap their head around it, you know? And I just simply say, you have one job, and that's to take cash every month. That's it. But what about this? But what about that? And a lot of times those, but what if, you know, if the property goes vacant, not your problem. You still get your money. What if something breaks? It's fixed by me.
We got a letter in today as well from our local council and said, such such property you own, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We're now going to do this and do that. And we only bought the property, but like we probably have it 9 weeks completely renovated.
Yep.
Her and Kim were like, what the hell is this? What if someone's sitting on a property out there and they're getting hammered by the council, threatened?
Yep.
They haven't got the money to deal with the property. Dad has passed away. The property's going to be either taken off the council or they're going to be end up in court because the letters come out. And then lo and behold, they come over a slight bit of marketing that you've put out.
Yeah, correct.
You're sitting with them and you're giving them this now lease. Like this thing has just always, since dad has died, taken money from the pocket. Now it's putting massive stress on mom and whatever sibling owns it. And you knock on the door and you're marketing. You're marketing, I presume, because again, you come from the world of marketing and you specialize in that and you also come from the world of sales.
Correct.
You know, these two things added into the option contract, you're putting this two, you're putting a package together for someone and getting them out of a block of misery.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And a lot of times, and I'll tell everybody in a minute where they can very quickly, like, I mean, this weekend, go and actually get a property deal. Pardon?
I might have to cut this.
I'm going to give the secret sauce away in a minute.
Okay.
So everyone can literally do it this weekend if they want to go and find an option deal where they are.
Yeah.
Because they're out there. But first, I'll tell you a little bit more about the actual why people do it. A great example is what you said. Why is it a case that people would do it? That is a great example. Those people own the property, but they didn't want to actually sell it because they didn't want to be hit with, you know, taxes. And they also owned the property and they grew up in it. So there was an emotional attachment, as I previously said. But they also liked a bit of rent coming in every month. That was the other thing. It was divided between three of them. Of course it was. And they loved that. Okay, so that's one example. Here's another example of why somebody would want to do it. I know somebody who has a property. He wants to sell it. He can't. The bank won't let him sell it. He has to wait until he sells his whole portfolio and he has to wait 7 years to sell it. He's located in a different town. So he has to manage it from there. The property, again, will need a minimum 50 grand dropped in it. He doesn't want to put that money into it. Okay? So there's another example for an option deal.
is this something real?
Real, absolutely.
So he is that property today empty?
Empty.
How long is that?
It's on my table at the minute.
How long has it been empty?
2 years.
Okay.
Over 2 years. Yeah. And
but like massive housing crisis.
Yeah.
We've got a load of mad people going around trying to queue up with agents to do property deals for stupidity numbers.
Yeah.
And then we've got this underworld of fucking empty.
And that's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
That are in there and requires you not being lazy and getting out there and trying to find a deal.
Yeah. And that one is on the market. It's empty for 2 years.
Mm.
He had a deal. It fell through on him. I was originally doing the deal. Now back on my table again. So that's the stage of it for me with him. But he can't do a deal for 7 years in terms of an options deal, which would be perfect for me. A lot of times people say, well, you know, and I often, why would you want to do this deal? As in, why would I want to do it? Like this, because I'm going to own the house 5 or 7 years' time. You know, what's in it for you is usually the question. Yeah. That's literally the phrase. Well, what's in it for you, Danny? Well, it's going to be my house in 5 or 7 years. Why would I not want to take care of it really well? So then they can start to wrap their head around it.
Yeah, because the other thing people can't wrap their head around is, again, they'll ask all why? And I always say, look, you know, asking all the whys are all fuck ups. Assumption
is
the mother of all fuck ups.
Yeah.
So you have to park that aside a second.
Correct.
The real why you should be asking yourself is why in the housing crisis that we're having in Ireland is that property empty today? Why? Because that person hasn't got enough information to make the decision.
Correct.
And that's your job as the entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Get in there.
It was totally taken off the table. So I put it to bed. That was fine. And like I said, it came back to me. Another example of another options deal. Why would people do an options deal? Okay, somebody owns a property. This is another one that's on my table. She can't sell it. She wanted to sell it, but because some of the family don't want her to sell it and have said either if you sell it to one sibling, the other sibling will be unhappy and won't speak to them. If you sell it to a brother or sister who's interested, if you put it on the open market and don't offer it there first, a lower price, they in turn are going to fall out. So they have internal squabbles in the family. So she's caught. So now the property's sitting idle and she's asking for people to actually stay in it just so that there's a light left on and heat.
Well, you seen a WhatsApp group the other day, a property that I was in that we had to do a deal on, which is a big number.
Yeah.
It's a big, big number. Yeah. He bought that for a quick little flip and would have, I'm telling you, guaranteed, would have made 100 grand out of it.
Wow.
What happened to the property? No one in it for 4 weeks. That bit of bad weather came. That is a different property.
Yeah.
That his investment is gone.
Yeah.
And hence why I'm walking through it to make him a fast cash offer.
Yeah.
But again, I think she's very correct getting someone into that property, because if a leak comes or a problem comes, which it will, there's someone there to fix it or turn the light off or make sure it doesn't burn down. So again, the option side would make really good sense.
Really great sense.
Yeah.
You know, and I, like I said a minute ago, I'm going to tell everybody where to get one. And this is a great source of option deal. It's tired and jaded. Okay. But you got to do a bit of work for it. You know?
Yeah. No, I mean,
you know, you have to work.
He wants to work.
You're not going to wake up in the morning, they're knocking on your door and there's the option deal. No, really. You do have to do a bit of work. You know,
it took you 2 years nearly.
That other one. Yeah. Yeah. That it's back.
How long? From the first time I introduced you to options, how long do you reckon it's taken you to do one?
3 months. Sorry. Which one?
From the first time you like learned the concept of an option. By the time you physically actually, and all the ones that fell
my off biggest the cliff. Challenge, Paul, was trying to wrap my head around the process.
Right.
I couldn't wrap my head around the process. But the minute I did, I was like, I get it.
A light went off. That point.
Yeah. I was like, okay. And it wasn't a case where, you know, and I probably had you plagued at that stage. Absolutely plagued. And like, you know, people out there now who are going, I don't have a big deposit, so I can't buy a property, get an investment property. But equally at the same time, there's people out there today who is like, I want to buy a home. I don't have no interest in investing in property. But you can actually buy a home doing an options deal. There's so many different ways to leverage an option deal. When I wrapped my head around, because I was be a bit slow, it took me probably about 3 months to wrap my head around it. But once you get it, you get it. Like once you've done one options deal, like they're pretty much all going to, not all be the same, but you have a situation whereby if the structure is the same, the formula is the same, you know, you're going to have to negotiate and there's going to be other nuances within it. But it's the framework is going to be there for you.
How many do you reckon is out there today?
Endless amount, because in my opinion, there's endless amount of jaded and tired landlords. And to finish telling everybody where they are is finding a landlord who's tired and jaded and just approaching them and looking to take the property off them. A lot of landlords won't give up the property, but they want to get rid of it at the same time. And the sweet spot for them is offering them to have still some rent coming in without the hassle of taking care of them.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, that's what they want.
You know, who's very, very close to me.
Yeah.
Old dog.
Yeah.
We do a lot of stuff together. He reckons.
Yeah.
He said, for you now, go off and double your portfolio, triple it, quadruple it. You need to look at me.
Yeah.
People like me that has a portfolio of property, has come through the hell with them.
Yeah.
Held on to them.
Yeah.
Fought for them. They're there. He calls it now counting his turkey dinners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, I've built the thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking for some young person.
Come in
and drive that thing to the next generation. So it's going to keep feeding. And if they put an option in front of me and they're going to take that portfolio up, they're the guys you need to pay attention to,
yeah,
because they're there. And nobody presents a deal like that to them to say, I'm going to help with this 10 units you have.
Yeah.
And here's the plan that I'm going to do to fix them, to bring them up, to bring them to a level and to take all the stress from you. So you can go off and play your golf. Correct, and do what you want. I'm going to take over the reins here.
Yeah.
And here's what you also get.
Yeah.
And here's the packaging. Here's the growth cycle of it. And show them proper case studies.
Correct, yeah.
Of what
yeah.
you can do, how you can maintain them, how you can bring them to the level,
yeah.
how you can get them solid, and how the old dog can still get a good lump of money out.
And
that's all he's in the
because front. That's what they want. And landlords, and old landlords, like, that's a lot of time where they don't sell because they love coming in every month.
Yeah.
They love it coming in every month. And it's finding them. You know, I've listed in like, I've literally, like, for me, I have to write stuff down,
Yeah.
And so I'm writing down, okay, step one, do this, step two, do this. And I'm listing it all down. I'm like, that's why I put in that little blueprint. I'm like, for me, I did it for me.
Yeah.
So that, like, you say this, you exactly, you do this podcast for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I did the blueprint for me, you know.
Well, I'll tell you why we built this new room and I'm going to push that podcast heavy.
Yeah.
I'm doing a deal on a house in Cove. And, you know, I always try and target where our deals come from.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed because we pay so much for different things.
Yeah.
And this dude said to me, exactly, we were standing in the room, we're looking around and I'm like, okay, seems to really fucking know me.
Mm.
You know, you're in negotiation. Everyone's getting a bit tense, you know. And I says, how do you know me? He goes, I fucking watched all your podcasts.
You see, like, there you go.
All that podcast in, we're on to the races.
Yeah.
He knew, he goes, you're just naturally, if I'm going to do a deal with someone, he knew me. And I was like, fucking hell, man.
Yeah.
These podcasts and business talks and all, that gives people an opportunity to get to know you.
Correct.
If they don't like you, they don't like you.
They don't like you. Deal.
But people do deals with people they like.
Correct.
And that's the end of it. And I think... That's why we built it.
It's true.
Roll them in.
Yeah, but additionally, it's like every deal is not going to be a deal. Like, you're not going to close every deal. You know, I heard a great expression lately. You know, you kind of have to, when it comes to getting to your people, whether it's either doing a deal or people who gel with you, you know, you got to piss off 80% of people to actually have 20% of the people that actually jive with you. And that's going to be like a deal. Some people just won't work with you. They'd be too difficult. They might not like you.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And once you accept that, you're going to be fine. But it's having the confidence to go out there and do it. And also just not be afraid to get out there.
When you've done it.
Yeah.
The fear of doing it.
Yeah.
And now it's done. And now you're making money.
Yeah.
You're back. You found a new niche again. You found a new business model. I know you've done a few other little small things as well to try, which in lines with it.
Yeah.
But again, the fear side of it, all the questions in.
Correct, yeah.
Legal, because you're dealing with legals, you're dealing with everything. How your sleepless nights, probably hounding my phone. I've seen a couple of different things come in late at night. I was like, Danny's in trouble here. Danny's trying to figure this shit out. But again, you've done it.
Yeah.
Right? How do you feel now?
Oh, listen, kind of going back to what I said, once you kind of do one, you know, you've done it. You've learned the formula, but it's like anything. It's like figuring out what the formula is and the correct steps to do it.
Yeah.
It will give you the confidence after one. Then you know, and your eyes actually open up to more option deal. But it's actually, you know, they have this phrase in America, you know, driving for dollars. Over here, it's just pounding the pavement. We've got it. It's the same thing. Some of the best things, and we still do it. We drive around looking at properties. Yep. You know, we would look it up, go to land registry. Who owns that property? You know, that one's run down. Who owns, and actually go to Land Direct and check out who the actual owner is. Direct mail to them. You know, there's a load of ways you can target people, you know. You know my lumpy mail strategy.
I know it all. Look, I think it's been an absolutely great, great session. I could talk about options all night long.
Yeah,
you know, I'm really passionate about them. I spent a fortune on trying to learn them. So, and then it served us very, very well at the moment.
Yeah.
We're just taking out one of our option deals.
Yeah.
So we'll probably show you all the systems that would say systems. I show you all the process that we do. But again, I think you're going to do big things in this space.
Yeah. It's the area that I'm going to really focus on because for me, once people realize that doing deals with no money down is so much easier than they actually think. You don't have to have a big wedge of money. You don't have to get a mortgage to get started in this at all. Most people, with their correct knowledge, can go ahead and do it. But the reason I say most people, only the ones who are prepared to put in the
work. Yeah, yeah.
Once they're prepared to put in the work.
Danny Quigley, you've been a great, great guest. Now we can, you have a bit of crack as well here, and that's what I like to do, because I think that's the way people learn.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know me, when I get serious as well, I get very reddened and shouting and screaming, but I think the knowledge went in.
Yeah.
And I hope you give as much of this back to
for sure.
New generation.
Yeah.
Coming up the ranks there, people that specialize in things. Where can people find a little bit about you? Or
yeah, just my website, DannyQuigley.com.
www.
Yeah, you need all that. But if you just put in DannyQuigley.com, that'll get me. Or on any of the socials, Instagram, I'm you know, active on that. It's just, again, Danny Quigley. Or if you want to chat with me, it's just speak to Danny.com.
What about the book? Or the books?
Yeah, you can get the book at... nomoneydown.ie, very simple website to go to. It's right there. If you want to buy it on amazon.com, you want to go fancy and get the paper version, the paperback, it's there. But if you want to download it and have it instantly.
€199.
€199.
How much is it coming in at?
Less than a tenner, I think it is. Not, yeah, yes, not even. Yeah. So €9.97 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and if someone took that €9.97 and fucking paid attention to it.
For €10, it literally maps out step by step where you find these deals, how you put the deal together, the things to do, the things to avoid. Yeah. It's all in there. It's just a blueprint to the whole thing.
And you could give them a little follow-up then after.
Absolutely. If they want to speak to me, it's just speak to Danny.com and they'll actually can book a chat, have a chat with me. Book is...
Great stuff. Yeah. And listen, I really appreciate you being open about the start of your life as well.
Yeah.
Telling people how you went up and, you know, about it, talked about the crash. Talked about loads of different businesses that you were in. Talked about your whole life and where you are today and what your growth is. Danny Quigley, very much.
Thanks for having me, Paul.